Blog Talk Radio.
Cut that shit up, Quay. In the kitchen whipping, I'm rapping again.
Whipping.
Keep on playing, then I'm stabbing your friend.
Woo.
I'm in the hood, I think I'm back trapping again.
Trapping.
Woo. Oh my gosh, back at it again.
Hey,
hey, on my grizzly, back stacking again.
Hey,
hey, big up all that on me, backpacking again.
Wow.
Hey, keep a quarter on me, backpacking the bin.
Quaver, back at it, count up 100, the rest at it, yeah, my wrist a Titanic, ice hit the glacier, it do damage, yeah, yo, gon' panic, I see through a panic, like a panoramic,
hey,
yeah, then get back to whipping, then get back to trapping, yo, back at it,
woo,
if it's too crowded, might shoot out the roof and say, let him come through,
bye-bye.
Keep it 1,000 when I'm in the booth, I spent 2,000 to step in the shoes, gang gon' gang, how you think we gon' lose,
yeah.
Back to back motorcade, that's how we move,
woo.
On mama porch, I was sitting on the stool,
mama.
When I hopped up, I took off to the moon,
oh my gosh, back at it again.
Back at it.
In the kitchen whipping, I'm rapping again.
Whipping.
Keep on playing, then I'm stabbing your friend.
Woo.
I'm in the hood, I think I'm back trapping again.
Trapping.
Woo. Oh my gosh, back at it again.
Back
hey,
at it.
Hey, on my grizzly, back stacking again.
Hey,
hey, big up fall that on me, backpacking again.
Wow.
Hey, keep a quarter on me, backpacking the bin. My diamond like Fiji, I'm a yellow bees, ice out in this freezer, just cop the Luigi. Oh, take it easy, you trippin', I'm leaving. I drank in the freezer, this now come easy. I'm trapping, I mean it. My blood double G me, that cooler, that heater. Take knocks in your reader. I sent some shots through a white beater. Chopper knocking out of his feet. Don't call me little baby, I'm sorry, don't need you. That's mine, I got shot up, then went up on features. Body for body, my some demons. We tiffy tally, you busted and bleeding. Stopped in the line in the booth with my Nina. Back in the day, used to trap in the beamer. I'm a true hustler, my the schemer. In her eyes and that look the creamer. Oh my gosh, back at it again.
Back at it.
In the kitchen whipping, I'm rapping again.
Whipping.
Keep on playing, then I'm stabbing your friend.
Woo.
I'm in the hood, I think I'm back trapping again.
Trapping.
Woo. Oh my gosh, back at it again.
Back
hey, on my grizzly, back stacking again.
Hey,
hey, big up all that on me, backpacking again.
Wow.
Hey, keep a quarter on me, backpacking the bin.
So froze, I can't shake hands, I gotta give you a pound. Wave my bank account, quadruple, think I'm still slanging pounds. Told them catching my vote for who, trying to get this dope across the border. Grew up, I'm from East Atlanta, but stand my ground like it's Florida. The judge, the bailiff, the local reporter. Tell the hoax to my lawyer, grew up slicker than oil. Caught the dawn, wrote the raid to the truck with the odds. Look like Aurora, still a ship every time I bring out my cars. Stars by the bar, neighborhood superstar. 24K, Bruno Mars, down to the drawers. I'm thinking large, talking old money, Chico the bars. Blue sound, 20, futuristic, moving this party. Scoochie.
Oh my gosh, back at it again.
Back at it.
In the kitchen whipping, I'm rapping again.
Whipping.
Keep on playing, then I'm stabbing your friend.
Woo.
I'm in the hood, I think I'm back trapping again.
Trapping.
Woo. Oh my gosh, back at it again.
Hey,
hey, on my grizzly, back stacking again.
Hey,
hey, big up all that on me, backpacking again.
Wow.
Hey, keep a quarter on me, backpacking the bin.
One, two, one, two.
Good evening, Hakim.
Thank you for your applause. What's going on, Black people?
What's up, Jay?
Ready to go tonight?
Applauding just now.
I'm
sorry. Yeah. We'll never tell them thank you. So how's it going? Are we made it to the middle of the week? We 1 week away from Thanksgiving? And tonight, we're talking about what, Darius? What are we talking about?
Black businesses, promoting black business.
We need to, before we get into it, do y'all agree that we need to support more black businesses?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Okay, just check him.
Most definitely. It's not
so
even
now,
an option at this point.
Right. You think this administration that we got now is going to help us, some black business owners, you know, help them get us back on track? What are you thinking about that? What's your thoughts about that before we get into
the call? Do you mean the incoming administration of Biden?
Right.
It depends on, they're going to first focus on this virus. I think they will with this stimulus package, because there's a lot of small businesses, including black business owners, that are hurting. And if nothing get passed soon, they're going to probably go out of business for good. I believe they will.
Oh, it's a lot of them.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of businesses, period, that ain't made it back. Ain't going to make it back.
No.
And if you got something like, if you got something like a food business where you can, you know, deliver and, you know, curbside and stuff like that, you might be working with something. Mm-hmm. Might be able to come back, but some of these businesses is not going to be able to come back.
No,
that being
they're not.
You know, now the other flip side of that is, now is the time, well, going forward, maybe with this new administration, because aside from that, the other part of that is no businesses, no employment, right? So you also got people without jobs, right? So that being said, this might be an opportunity for you to reinvent yourself. And if they, you know, if this administration comes with some kind of funding for us, for black folk or small business owners, this might be the time to step
and
into
entrepreneurs.
Your own business. That's right. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I can go on and on and on in regards to small businesses. Y'all have anybody that you know of that's not coming back from this crisis, from this pandemic?
Yeah, too many. I got a couple people who I have to help them break their companies down and dissolve it. There's nothing worse than dissolving a LLC and a business structure and a, you know, trying to figure out what the company, you got to figure out what the company's worth and then who gets what cut. And it's sad, but it's pretty much the way it is. I mean, we're stuck without support. You know, that PPP money helped a lot of the big businesses, and by the time the little businesses got wind of it, meaning the black and Hispanics, it was all ran out. So, you know, it's going to be tough. Some serious strategies need to be had amongst black business owners and, you know, and man, amongst each other. And you have to come up with new strategies for your business, you know, for you and your team. So, but we'll touch base into those things later. Yeah.
Right. Well, for the big businesses, you know, you would never have thought of there been a time where you can get fast food delivered to your house. Right.
No. Oh, no. I remember.
Or groceries. We're living in some different times. For real.
Yeah. Yeah. And the trick is, how can, if you see your business is struggling, and how could you outfit your business to fit the times? That's the task. If you have a brick and mortar, more than likely, you're closing your brick and mortar. You're probably going to lose it. I'm so happy that a lot of folks who wanted to do that at the start of COVID, and I beg a lot of people, don't open up a business. Don't open up a store right now. Work online.
Well,
don't open up a store, because you have no control of what your mayor and your governor may decide. Right?
Yep.
So
yeah.
Before, to be honest with you, right before. Before I tell you, right before COVID hit in 20, this time last year, before COVID hit, excuse me, got the hiccups. I was looking for a brick and mortar for my shoe store. And I was not some of the locations because I would have to build them out and invest a lot of money into somebody else's building, right? So I was like, nah, I'm not ready to put $20,000 down on this. And it's your building. If it was a freestanding building where I can purchase it, then that'd be a different story. So that was my dilemma. And then COVID hit. So I'm thinking to myself, man, if I had to get into that contract for my shoe store, man, I would have been jacked up.
Yep.
You know, so.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. You know, Forbes magazine put out a crazy story that I read, you know, that COVID-19 wiped out nearly half of black businesses nationwide. You know, so you got to, man, if you don't have a plan, you got to make one. Because that was round one that did that to you. What do you think round two is going to do? And, you know, I don't suggest opening up a brick and mortar for anybody right now. Hold off. Plan. Work online if you can. Because, you know, it's all about your product and how you're selling it. And your fiscal discipline. Because if Amazon's making money, Walmart's making money, and other small businesses are making money online, so can you. You just have to make it happen.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Man, Amazon is just, man, they just taking over the world. And they bringing some people with them because they helping people out.
Mm-hmm.
Providing a platform as big as they are. They're the biggest competitor for Walmart. They pretty much surpass Walmart. I don't got the numbers on it, but that Walmart can't keep up with that delivery and stuff that Amazon got going on. Amazon is about to tap into retail. Well, they was getting ready to tap into retail and they have some prototype. They got some stores that are retail where you can go in some cities where you can go in like a Walmart, a smaller version though. Right before COVID, they was nervous about that. Walmart. Like, what?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That's, wow. Well.
Yeah.
Just to answer your questions, as of August 19th, Amazon's market cap was $1.7 trillion, and it makes it worth almost five times as much as Walmart.
Well,
if Amazon woke up tomorrow with Walmart's money, it'll probably jump out of a goddamn window. So,
wow.
There you go.
And supposedly, I remember when Amazon first came because I used to order books from them, and it was the buzz, and I kept on saying, "Man, this company here." I was thinking about some stocks back then. This was some years ago.
Yeah.
They were nowhere where they are right now. And then little by little, I started hearing, I said, you know what, Amazon, I knew they was going to blow up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was around the time I've always ordered online. Ever since we've been able to, I've always ordered online. A lot of people was certain things, you know, clothes and certain shoes. Some people were like, oh, no, I need to go in. We're so used to retail.
Mm-hmm.
I got to try my stuff on, you know, and stuff like that. But now it's a different story. People, that's the only way you go to the malls and to the retail stores. It's not the same. So, I don't know.
Well, you're ready for your first question of the night?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right, this one is from Tracy from Delaware, Wilmington to be exact. And she's asking, she says she's just came across a bunch of money from a relative passing. And she's thinking about getting into maybe a fast food franchise. Do we think now is a good time to do that, or should she wait?
Wait for what? If you're going to get into a franchise, a fast food franchise would be the best way to go.
Yeah.
Because those will, they have evolved into, you know, from with Grubhub and Uber Eats and stuff like that. You know, now's the time. Even when COVID is gone, that's going to continue on. Uber Eats and all that was going on before COVID.
And let me interject. Here in my city, here in Dane, we have a little fish place called Freshway, and owned by a Hispanic. They were making, I estimate, they made some good money off their fish, chicken, food sales in general, but before we had a tornado hit my city. Then they, after that, it didn't take them long, and they got a new location, and they're doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I
yeah,
would
unfortunately,
say,
food is not going to be a problem in regards to franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the point of her question, I would take the chance and maybe by summer. I would take the chance maybe summer, no later than fall.
Whenever she decides to do it, I think the question was not when, but should it be a what kind of business is a franchise business, you know, a safe bet?
Oh, yeah.
It was both.
It was both. Is it a safe bet, and should she do it now or should she wait?
Okay, got it.
I'm going to say wait because right now it's not a safe bet.
Yeah, just wait.
Franchises are taking a big hit right now. They're converting over to no in-store. You have to do drive-through, or you have to do Grubhub or Uber Eats. Which means they're surviving.
But the numbers on that for restaurants, like if she got into the franchise of either Chick-fil-A or Whataburger,
those are the ones that are already been around and established. They already jumped the hurdles. Remember, when you're franchising, you got many things you have to do first for the franchise, then for you and your staff. So wait. So we get this COVID thing under control, because more and more people are either on it. Here's the other thing. Franchises lucked up this year. You know why? Because all that PUA money was out there floating around. And the people who were first responders, they got to keep working. So you had customers, right? That PUA unemployment, it ends December 27th. Mm-hmm. And Mitch McConnell ain't trying to move. We still got to wait till January. For Biden,
it's a shame.
We still got to wait till January to see if the Democrats can continue it or put fresh money out there. So it's too many unknowns. And the first rule of business: if you don't have enough insight and vision plan happen, you wait. Do not open up a franchise now. All medical people are talking about we're going to be dealing with this come next summer. I know that all the news are all hype about a vaccine, but let's be honest. The biggest concern is half of the people ain't going to want to take it because they're scared and they don't trust it. So the market is happy about McDonald's and Wendy's and all of them, but the reporting of income compared to last year is way down. So they're in survival mode. They're not eating. They're in survival mode. They're not celebrating. You don't want to start a franchise on the ass end of it. So you always want
right.
to start off on high and make sure the franchise you pick is in a good location, preferably urban, preferably a strip mall. You know, those things, location is important too, because you want to be where the traffic is. If you're in Chicago you're in Delaware, try to get where a transport hub or something like that. That's always one of my recommendations to people who are doing anything in food. Get somewhere where the buses are and the trains and stuff like that, because you want that foot traffic. So, but good luck. We'll see what happens. But just plan. If you're going to do it, have a good plan. Make sure you got some security, because if you have to shut down, how are you going to take care of all these new employees? So make sure you got a security plan and a security blanket for your team.
Yeah. Prepare for the unexpected.
I still stick with that. Now's the time to do it, and if it's in fast food, now's the time to do it. These, I don't know about the, there on the East Coast or whatever, but down south, we don't got no bus lines, and I mean we got bus lines, but it's the suburbs and all these stores. They're opening up brand new stores, and I mean it's jumping off around here. So I don't know what it's looking like down there.
Yeah.
So when you say location, you have to also look at what city and state you're talking about. Delaware, I'm not sure too much about, but it's going down. Restaurants, it's like lines and drive through is ridiculous. Grubhub and Uber Eats. Is going down around here. And so I don't, you know, and this is people that's in drive-through. The drive-throughs are wrapped around the corner at Waterbury, McDonald's, and Chick-fil-A. I don't know about what's going on down there with the bus line and train station and stuff like that. But down here, and one of the other ones, Popeye's Chicken, and Church's Chicken was founded here in San Antonio, down in Texas. So it is, those drive-thrus are ridiculous on a regular from the time, from sunset to sundown. Chick-fil-A, it absolutely makes no sense. Bush's Chicken, everybody, so many people are at home, and I haven't done the math on it and checked into what the revenue is looking like for these businesses, but it seems like just from me witnessing and being out there, it seems like I don't recall these drive-thrus being this long, you know. And
now down here,
you can go in, you got curbside, and, you know, you can dine in certain hours or whatever, but you got curbside too. Chili's, I'm like, all the people they done reserved all the parking spaces up on the building, you know, close to the building for curbside. So if you're going in to dine in, you're parking on the outside of the parking lot and stuff. And it is a lot of cars just at curbside because they don't, you know, Chili's don't have drive through. So Papado's parking lot is ridiculous for curbside. So, if you're going to – now, the shoe stores and the clothing stores, that's different if you're thinking about a franchise. But these rest, if you're thinking about a franchise and you're thinking about, you know, fast food – now's the time. You're gonna have, of course, like everything I can say, you're gonna have to have your business proposal together and your plan together, do your research or whatever. What, McDonald's, you need a meal to get in there, and you got to go to school for like a year. You know,
That's a lot to go. It is the other side of it. When you're dealing with an actual franchise, I mean, you're buying into somebody else's system, you got to make their money first. So, you're in Delaware, and Delaware is going to be shutting down any day now. That's going to affect a lot of stuff. You know, Delaware is going to be going through restrictions too. They're going into the red zone because they're following what happens to PA, because what happens in the PA happens in Delaware, because they're literally walking distance, depending on where you are. In PA, we have Delaware County. Like where my son lives, where I can literally get in a car and drive on 9th Street in Chester and run into Delaware and go to the liquor store. So a lot of those stores are going to be closed, and they're going to try to offer curbside, or they're going to try to offer where you can get online to place your order and someone will run it out to you, all that good stuff. But that isn't the same as foot traffic. And you're talking about a brand new spanking franchise, not a business that you built from the ground up. You're talking about a franchise. And franchises, if you ever help deal with one of them things, is a pain in the ass, because you have to go by their rules, not your rules. You have no rules. You're just there using someone else's name. So be careful in Delaware. If you're going to do it, but you know, you got to fix on what's happening. Because you don't want to be a month in and then they're talking about, shutting down. And here's the other thing, because what they're trying to do is not shut down in the Northeast, so they're coming up with curfews. So that doesn't help.
They're doing that here in Ohio.
Yeah, because that's the East Coast move, because they don't want to shut down. They're getting pushback.
We ain't got no curfews down here.
Yeah, down south is wilding out. Florida is wilding out. Texas has been wilding out. But that's the thing. I mean, every location is different, but up here in the Northeast, it's hard, man. It is so hard.
Wow.
What do you think some of the things we can be doing to support black business owners? What are some of the tips you guys want to pass on to the listeners who may be interested in supporting, but not really, they don't really know how?
Well, for myself, I feel like I have the opportunity to afford the black business owners to advertise. I made a post today in regards to you needing some advertising on my radio network. Come through. We support Black Business HubNet online radio. Whatever. If you got a show idea you want to pitch, and you think you want to get have your own build your own platform to have people, you know, to have a show on my network, you have that opportunity as well. You know, and then just naturally just supporting black businesses, if you have a platform or just provide, you know, instead of, you know, the services that you look for business owners, you know, restaurants that's owned, coffee shops that's owned by black people. I'm looking into this black bank. They keep sending me this information about them, but I literally, with all the banks that I have, have invested in a black bank. So I'm doing the research on that and seeing, you know, how I can get into that and support that way. So for myself, that's how I like to support, be a customer. You know, back in the day, you know, we used to do that. Our ancestors did that. You cut my hair and I'm going to shine your shoe, you know, or whatever the case may be. You know, we did that. You the butcher and I'm the, you know, I'm the hairstylist, you know, and so on and so forth. And we supported each other. Long years ago, our ancestors did, you know, we had no other choice because the services that we provided, you know, other than that, you know, white people wasn't coming out there to get their hair cut and they, you know, and stuff like that. So we relied on each other for that type of thing. So for myself, I think that we need to get back to that. From black banks to beauticians to nail salons or whatever you get, whatever services you need, more than like 100%, you can find a black owned business that's providing that service. And so it might take a little bit more work. You might have to go out of your, you know, where you live at. You might have to go. For me, I got to go way across town to provide to the black for small black businesses. You know, it's gonna be a little extra. And you know, I let them know. Well, I went to this one black soul food restaurant. And they're like, "Ooh, I done drove a long way. I done drove a long way for this." And they're like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah, I got to come support." You know. And so on and so forth. So, shout out to Tony G's down here in Texas. That they doing it. They've been around. Restaurant is just food is just. Oh my goodness. So yeah, that you got to make some concessions, and you're gonna have to do a little driving. It's gonna take a little longer, you know, and so on and so forth. But that's how you got to put. You know, you got to support. You got to get on out there and look for them as well.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Darius.
Oh, I will piggyback off. Say marketing. Market. Use your opportunity with all the social media platforms. Like you said earlier about location. Make sure it's not like in a high crime area.
But no, how do you support them? How do a person is listening in and they're looking to help?
Okay.
Support black businesses. What do you suggest?
Like Jan said, market yourself. Promote. Like promote your business.
You as a customer, how are you gonna provide service? How are you gonna support my black businesses? And I got about 4 or 5 of them. How are you gonna support my black business? That's the question. Are you going to, if I had a shoe store that was in your city, would you be looking for my shoes or would you just go to who you normally go to?
I'd be going to your shoes and check it out.
One thing also is to tell other people about black businesses too, word of mouth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do you get those shoes from? Or, you know, I heard such and such, Janet got this business where she employing people and giving them the opportunity to be their own boss. What? You need some extra change? Yeah, let me give you the information. You know, word of mouth. Talking about,
business,
you know,
card.
We sit up and talk about everything else. Why are we not sitting up here running our mouths about people's businesses? I know Rita Brown, she has Honey's Restaurant here in San Antonio, Texas. That food is so good. We grew up together. And I support her. She's way across town on the other side of San Antonio. But I will drive out there. She got her food truck. She started out with a food truck. And it's a club. They got billiards there. She got pool tables. She's a DJ. Very nice. Very nice. And she's been in business for a while. I plugged her here in the group. Told her to call in if she wanted to. If not, I'm going to plug her business. It's called Honey's. And it's outstanding. Food is just ridiculous. Yeah. And a lot of people drive way across town to go see her. She's dead smack on the side of town where we are. But, you know, there's a lot of people that drive way across town to go and spend time with her. So,
that is awesome.
You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Where you, Reginald, I told him to call in. He's been a promoter since we've been in high school. He is throwing... Even through it could be the pandemic or whatever, comedy shows to concerts, clubs, you know, all up on his store. He's been doing it for years, and now he's got Sundays out at some outdoor location, real nice. He's posting up. I told him to come. He's always inviting me, but I told him to listen in, call in if you want to. If not, get me your information so I can make sure I advertise for your Sunday event. Here on the network. So these are people that I went to high school with. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they are business owners. And so whatever they got going on, I'm coming through to support.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. And
so I said all that to say this, word of mouth.
Yes.
And speaking of that, I got sorry, Hakim. Speaking of that, I have a friend of my classmate, I've known him since elementary. He started his own entrepreneur. He's an entrepreneur. He started his, it's like a black business group. It's called BE. And he promotes it here in the Dayton area. And he had like jerseys. Like he had like an example of the throwback high school, middle school uniforms. And he had the B logo on it. And all the local high schools in the Dayton area was using had that logo on there.
Mm.
Yes,
that's for sure.
The local high schools, and including that when we had tornadoes, he was still hustling. We helping out the community. So he's come a long way, and he's. Third, fourth year doing that, that's why I'm plugging that in. And I'll post that, his group in Shoebox Talk after we get off the air.
Hey, Hakim, you remember Mimi Mad? She's on the, remember her clothing line that she came and supported when we first did the Black Business Owners? Mimi Mad, she done opened up a seafood restaurant since then.
Oh.
I'm thinking it's probably about 2 years in. I just tagged her right now. I just came to mind. She opened up a restaurant called Bay Seas, and it's actually a part of this. It's a part of a franchise because it's Bay Seas. We got a bunch of them around here in Texas.
Okay.
And she opened up about, I'm going to say, what's this, 2020? I'm going to say it might have been 2018 when she opened up that seafood restaurant. And that food is kind of like a seafood restaurant / soul food, too. And Bay Seas is black owned here in Texas. So, yeah, shout out to Mimi Mad. I hope she's listening. I just tagged her. It just popped in my head right now about her business. I need to come through. And that's not too far. That ain't too far. She's on this side of town. She's not too far from me. I need to come through and support you. Yeah. I just thought about that.
That's for sure.
Yep.
That's what's up.
Doing good.
We need, yeah, I love hearing these stories. I work with restaurants and food service people all the time, and when I hear that they're succeeding and I hear that they're doing good, it makes me feel good, because I'm the old food service guy myself. That's my fallback. Mm-hmm. When all else fails and I can't make no money where else, I go the dust off of my Safe Serve certifications and go update them, and then I'll end up being a restaurant manager, worst case scenario. So it's hard and it's competitive, because here in the Northeast, we're talking about a $4 billion a year industry here in Philly and the surrounding areas. So it's very competitive. There's not a hospital you can go to without four or five food trucks around it. There's not a park you can go to without a food truck sitting out there. If they're not selling hot food in the summertime, they sell Italian ice and pretzels and maybe little pizza pretzels and stuff like that. So food is big here. You know, it's just like we're like a combination of New York and Chicago. You know, we're pretty much piggybacking off of what they got going on. The halal food truck industry, we've seen that pop up, which is another franchise that you can buy into, where you have a cart or a little mobile kiosk type thing, and you find a nice busy corner, and you just sell it. They're selling falafels, they're selling kebabs with rice and spicy chicken, Middle Eastern food. And I started to see these things pop up more and more and more, and I just go, I wish that was our people's businesses that was popping up more and more. Because everyone's setting up their franchises and their buy-in businesses, and they're coming here. They're coming in the middle of the hood to make the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's true. We're not even going to talk about black business, black beauty supply stores. They ain't seen one in so long. And the few that we do have, we don't support them. We don't support them. Like, it used to be a time when you black people couldn't get hold to black care products. They would not open up. They would not sell to you if you was a black business owner, our own products. And now things have changed within the last, 10 or 15 years. So there's no reason for us not to be opening up our own black beauty supply stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, another thing that I think we all should be actually paying attention to, I don't know if you guys heard of Maven.com. That is been
the hair product.
Yeah, a lot of black entrepreneurs have started their online hair businesses by partnering up with Maven and having inventory where you can sell directly from the site. So it's something to get your name in the game, because everyone can't afford to go buy the inventory from China or India or wherever you're buying from. But at least you could start branding yourself. You could start making your name known, getting out in the market, making some money, selling bundles and whatnot, and makeup and stuff like that. And then when you see that you're doing good, you can then go make those big, large purchases, and you can sell from the house. So, it's all about the starting point. And I don't want people sitting around waiting. Now is not the time to wait for certain products. Women are always going to need makeup. Women are always going to need hair. We're spending so much money with everyone else and not ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I have speaking of that, I have relatives in Hartwell, Georgia, like I brought up. I think y'all did a show before about promoting black business, called RSV Beauty Lounge, Hartwell, Georgia. It's been open for now. This is their third anniversary. And in between, there's like a barber shop. So it's black owned. My cousins own that. And it's so good that one of my cousins, her daughter, is just now starting doing hair.
That's cool.
She's in the sixth grade. And I knew, just a, yeah, and I I told my cousin, I said, it's just a matter of time for your daughter to start doing hair. And what do you know? And she
said,
here's the thing.
You can get these young girls can get their braiding license and get at it. Huh?
And here's the thing.
You used to be back in the day, you used to have a cosmetology license, was, you know, to braid hair. But as a matter of fact, braiding hair wasn't even part of the curriculum.
No.
Yeah, now she says she got a clientele already.
School. Yeah. And so now, they done made, of course, look at the government. They done made it a curriculum. So to braid hair, so they can, you know, make money off of it. Legally, you, to have your own business braiding hair, you can just get a braiding license. You don't have to go do the whole program for cosmetology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
yep.
I said, here's like I was saying, that my little cousin was 12, 13 now. She said she got a clientele. I said, well, God bless her. I said, it'll take you a long way.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Get you ready for college.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
Because I know when I was in college, I was in the dorms back in the 90s braiding hair. You know. So. My other friend, another friend of mine, a high school friend, Yolanda Holmes, she's a real estate, Remax real estate agent. And now I just, I think about a month ago we went and broke bread, and she has become a broker. So she's about to do her own thing. She's been working with Remax for a while, killing it. Killing it. Yep.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Retired military vet. She's been to war a few times. Good people. Shout out to Yolanda Holmes. That's down here as well. So, you guess you already know who I go to when I need to get some real estate popping. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever.
I'm agreeing with you. You know, I wanted to give a quick shout out to Queen Vi. Who is funny because I wanted her to call in, but she's in class tonight, so she can get her real estate license. So, that's the next, yeah. So she's, you know, she's grinding it out, and you know, wanted everyone to go check out vipearson.com and hit the business tabs. We have access to all of her business ventures, the Pure Romance, the paparazzi jewelry, the total life changes stuff, and also you can she's also a notary in the state of New Jersey. So if you're in Jersey, you're listening, and you need a notary, there you go. Hit her up, and so it's good to see people elevating themselves,
right?
And that's important because when you see them I like to teach people how to be a CEO, business owners, because sometimes because we have a skill, we start a business. And you start the business, you're good at what you do, but you don't understand the mechanics of the actual business, the taxes, the this, that, you know, hiring the right staff and putting the right people, that kind of thing. And I always try to get people to, when you do your business plan it out for a year or two. And there's a part in every business plan that has the clause in it, the what if clause. If things go belly up or something happens, a disaster like we're in right now, what is your plan? How will your business continue? You know, so it's very important to have that in place because you never know. And one of the things we learned this year is you never goddamn know. Because, like, no one saw this coming.
Mm-hmm.
No one saw that, you know, it's been so scary. It's been weird. Mm-hmm. When have you ever seen the country so weird where it gave black folks tens of thousands of dollars to run around and spend?
Mm-hmm.
So that's not normal. We're in a very strange time.
So you make sure you plan. You're planning for that, you know, because you never know.
And you have to, I think, as parents and as people here, you have to mentor the younger generation. I'm mentoring my two godsons, both of them. Congratulations to both of them. They both got their LLCs. One has a trucking company, AD Transporting Services, and the other one is developing. He has his LLC as well. EIN got his business going, and he's in the process of getting his prototype for his clothing line. So these dudes is fresh up out of college, in their 20s. You know, trying to be entrepreneurs. You imagine if I hadn't had that mindset in my 20s, I was too busy trying to work for people and have this good job and have that good job. You know, use the education I went to school to get and all that. But if I had to had the, you know, the entrepreneur mindset in my at 25, I would be a millionaire right now.
Yep.
So you have to mentor the young. You have to. My mom said, "Go to school, get your education." My mom said, "Go to school, get your education, get a good job." So you, that's okay, but you got to also put in their ear about being an entrepreneur as well. It can be done, you know.
Yes, indeed.
And but you know, they out there doing it at that age, serious about it too, you know.
Yeah. My oldest son, he's in his second year of college, and he wants to do sports medicine. The sports medicine turned into physical therapy, and he said, "Look, I want to be a doctor." You know, and I said, "You want to be a doctor to do what?" He said, "I want people, you know," cause he was a football guy. He was getting scouted. We were trying to get him in the Temple. And then he tore his ACL, and he loved the way they took care of him, and the medical people got him back on his feet. He said, "I want to do this, Dad." And I said, "Well, okay." And I said, "Well, you want to work at a hospital or you want to start your own?" He said, "Well, you're not going to let me work at a hospital, so I'm going to start my own." I said, "Dad, you're damn right. Nobody's sending you to school for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year for you to go get a goddamn job. So if you got to work at a place to build, to make your bones, sure, but that should be your end goal, having your own private practice." Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have enough black doctors and black physicians out there. There's tons of them. And shout out to the Black Physicians Corporation in Philadelphia. Y'all showed up and showed out in the spring. Y'all came together, put your money in the pot, and got people the protective wear and was giving it out to the people. Y'all, when we couldn't get enough tests in the cities, y'all used your power and influence to get it out there. So, man, Philly is known for three things: food, medical, and more food. Those are the,
what
those
kind
are the
of food
two
Philly
big
known
hubs.
For?
They got a marketing plan in Philadelphia.
Philly is what they call a food medical hub. From everything from baked goods to everything. We're like a little New York, I told you. But the way New York is designed, New Yorkers come here to set up shop. Right? I literally just helped two business owners open up little takeout spots up in Scranton, PA. Why? Because Scranton doesn't have enough good black, right? Everybody up there is the others. So a bunch of dudes who, you know, just came home, New York guys, Brooklyn guys, one from Queens, one from Brooklyn, they took their little money and they're one starting a pizza, one starting a cheesesteak shop. You know, full service menu. They're going to make sure they're on a Grubhub so they don't have to worry about the whole crowded area thing. So it's Pennsylvania.
You know what? That's
there are people coming.
That's another thing too. Black people making pizza. We got there's a couple of black owned pizza places here. I'm like, damn, this pizza good.
A young man by the name of Tyrone Barb was one of the best pizza bakers in West Philly, right on 52nd and Cedar. That was my second cooking job. My first cooking job was Red Lobster. I was a line cook, and then I did my little education and got it got my game up, and then a friend of mine had a pizza shop, and I went from being his night cook to his night manager. The next thing you know, I'm running two pizza shops 2 years later, both in West Philly. So yeah, it's black-owned pizza spots are not enough of us. We need more,
right,
tons more.
Right, because you think pizza, I go to the official New York Italian pizza joint here. I ain't mm-hmm. looking for no black pizza. And I'm like, wait, hold up, this pizza good? You know?
Yeah.
It's like going to a soul food restaurant and eating some shrimp fried rice and egg rolls. You're like, hey, that ain't supposed to be. So, yeah.
I mean, it's really important.
I just said, there's so many, you know, whatever you want in business, black owners, we doing it all. We are making pizza with donut shop. You know, you ain't got to go to Dunkin' Donuts or Krispy Kreme.
Mm-hmm.
We doing it all. Yep.
Hey, all right, we got another question. Someone wants our take on something. This one is from Lady Wren out there in the Bahamas, and she is writing in on behalf of her brother who has a small restaurant over in Jersey, and she's saying that during the when that PPP money was given out, he couldn't get a part of it. There's talks of a shutdown. There's new restrictions on what time restaurants can close and how many people they can get in. Layoffs is inevitable at this point. What should mm-hmm. he do? He's confused. He's never had to lay people off before. Any tips, any suggestions on how to move forward?
What kind of business is it?
It's a restaurant.
So you got to get in the cut. You got to get in the trenches, and you got to reinvent your business. You got to basically go out to people. You got to keep the money coming in. And the only thing, you cannot just rely on people coming in and sitting down in your restaurant. You got to go to the people. And that's pretty much how these other big businesses is making it. That's how McDonald's is making it. They drive through might be off the chain, but they delivering to people's house, you know. You got to go, you got to come up with it to get linked up with. And the benefit of that is you don't have to hire your own drivers. You don't have to buy your own vehicles. You know, the tip of the traditional way of providing delivery service for your business. You got all these different companies that will deliver for you for a fee. So you get up with Grubhub and Uber Eats, the people that, you know, the companies that people use a lot, and get your food out there. You know, get your food out there. And let, like everybody else, you got to run with the big dogs and the little dogs and get your food out there best by all means necessary so you can keep your personnel in the building, you know.
Okay.
You might extend all your right. hours, you know. You might extend your hours or open up a little bit earlier, stay later, or stay open a little bit longer, you know. If it's safe enough, you might be able to do up until midnight or even 24 hours. You might have a night, you know, extend your hours for a little bit. Be the spot where people can get food at 11, 12 o'clock at night, you know, just to keep your personnel in the building. So basically thinking outside the box of what you normally
yes.
are doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Darius?
I agree with everything Ms. Janet said, and just like extend the hours. Probably just you always got to prepare for the unexpected, and you got to mm-hmm. have like you said, you got to have a plan B, C, D, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the
things that a lot of people is not paying attention to, because a lot of people is at home and a lot of more, you know, people are spending more time on social media. You need to make sure you're ramping up your social media pages also, your Instagram, your Twitter, and stuff like that. You need to start putting your food up there on your. I don't know if you got a social media, but on your Instagram, you got to be letting people know some of them meals, some of them you know, food, your menu. Up on there, and some of them plates that you make, and you need to put that up on social media so people can see what you got going on.
Mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and talk about it. Get some people on there that actually is buying the food and have them, you know, post, do a survey or whatever the case may be, you know. It's mm-hmm. all kind of things. I think that we have gotten into, as this country, we have gotten into too complacent with, oh, I'm going to get a brick and mortar, I'm going to have me a restaurant, and people are going to come sit down and eat. Them days is over. Them days is over. Mm-hmm. Just like COVID came, another pandemic and virus can come. Who would have ever thought that we would have this one? So, yeah, those days is over. We got to, you got to get on out there, honey.
Yeah, and you, both of you guys are definitely right. I've had your food. This food is amazing. Great Caribbean food, great African food. You know, he has a very strong African population that's in that area, right over there in Camden. You're right beside the church. You do great business with the church. Get a hold of the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Start talking about ways
mm-hmm.
you can service the church a little bit more. Janet is absolutely right. Extend your hours upward instead of downward because he's putting curfews. He's making businesses shut down early in Jersey. So you want to go
mm-hmm,
backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So be open for breakfast. You're not open for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Start doing that.
Right.
Now, the difficult
mm-hmm.
part of your question, you never lay people off. Guess what? I've done hundreds. You have to lay people off. Don't touch your kitchen staff. Let me repeat that. Do not touch. The last person to go is your kitchen people, especially your main cooks. You have a chef that you're paying a lot of money for. He's a great guy. He's the last one to go. Why? Because he knows the menu front and back. He tells you your menu. So why would you ever let him go? Okay? You can Grubhub it. You can do whatever you do. Start planning for curbside. You don't have social media. Now's the time. Call me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple. You need your social
media.
Yeah, because
everybody. Look, listen, if you are a business owner, I told my two godsons this. If you're a business owner and you do not have social media attached to your business, that's where people go to find you. They don't. We don't got yellow pages no more and all that. They Google you and they find
mm-hmm.
you, see how you do. If you are if you have a social media page, that's official.
Yeah.
That and it's not just food. If you got a nail salon and you got customers, then you need to be posting pictures of your work that you're doing or that your technicians is doing. People look at social media to see your relevance. You know, I tried to.
Yeah.
I told that to my godson. I said he has a trucking company. I said you need to. You moving all kind of stuff. You need to let people know. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, he's gonna be straight. He's gonna be straight by within the next 24 hours. So he's gonna be all up.
Yeah. Yep. So.
So
you know, somebody needs something moved. Now's the time to have a. You move. He transport services. We'll move whatever you need for us to move. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we not just city bound either. We going all up out of town and everything. Vans, trucks, whatever. Transportation services, period. You know what I mean? So you got to let people know. You know, somebody U-Haul and Budget and all them that's renting vehicles and stuff. These different moving companies. No, you need to get your social media. Let people know that you're doing it too. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, if your social media ain't popping, then, you know, just like you are as a business owner, is also a customer. So if you're looking for a black business or any business that you're looking at, and you go and look them up on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and they ain't got no page, you're like, what kind of business is this? I don't know about that. It's the times that we're living in. Back in the day, you used to go look at the yellow pages. They don't even make the yellow pages no more, you know. So,
no, there's no such thing as phone directory.
Positive.
Why? Because, all right, guys, we're about 35 seconds. Ms. Janet, you want to wrap us up?
Okay, great show, great questions. Those of you guys that, like I said, you need advertisements and you need social media, I got the person for you, as well as if you need to advertise on my radio network. We support you. We'll support you and give you a good deal. So get in contact with myself or Hakim Nuba on social media. I got Zuri Incorporated. That's my virtual call center. So if you need to be your own boss, I'm in the business of making people their own boss. You contract Zuri Inc. dot com, Zuri Incorporated, so that you can be your own boss. Look us up.
Okay. All right, guys, it's been great. We're out of time. We'll see you guys the week after Thanksgiving. Next week, we'll be playing music.
Alrighty. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
No doubt. Peace, y'all.
Good night.